We've arrived at Friday, and it is time for Week in Review. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. First item up for discussion is the decision by the DNR to approve Foxconn's air quality permits. We'll get to that discussion in just a moment. But first, an update on the final day of our spring membership drive.
Thanks, Kate. This is Cheryl Gasser along with Susanna Michaels, and this is the very last day of our spring membership drive. Your contribution keeps informative talk programming on WPR going strong.
And what an exciting day it is, Cheryl. We have a dollar-for-dollar match going on. That means that when you pledge $10 a month or $100 a month, your gift in any amount will be doubled.
And your gift makes a big difference because it is the single largest share of funding for WPR programs. Listener support, it comes from you. We could not do what we do without your help. There are so many good reasons to give. Think of yours and then make your pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Again, it is the last day of our spring membership drive, and we have that dollar for dollar match in effect for as long as it goes. That match is current members pooling resources together to encourage you to support WPR programs. So far, more than 100 people have gotten their donation matched. Team up with your fellow listeners. Double your support for the programs you rely on when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
People who listen, people just like you, provide the most significant share of funding for WPR programs. Your donation is an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in the programs like The Morning Show, like On Point, like The Larry Mueller Show, programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
It's your contribution that keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and for the entire community. So join in now. It is such an exciting day at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The programs you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, they make a difference in your life. Whether it's Wisconsin Weekend and we're talking about trees and our environment and our lives, or it's the Week in Review and we're talking about the latest politics in Wisconsin and our nation. These kind of programs are the reason you're listening right now. It's why you listen every day. And during this spring membership drive, we're asking you to support your radio home.
And during the spring membership drive on this day, your gift will be doubled. It's listeners like you who value public radio, who give what they can to support it, and that's how it works. If you're already a member, thank you for making Wisconsin Public Radio possible for all of us. If you're not a member yet, today is the day to become one. Make your first ever gift, and it will be doubled. Maybe it's $100. Maybe it's $10 a month. Give the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What are some things we like to double?
Tennis. I love a double smash.
I think I'd have to go with double stuffed Oreos.
You don't want double vision.
Your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio. You definitely want to double that.
That's right. Doubling your gift of Wisconsin Public Radio is a great thing, and it's easy to do right now. Your donation of any amount will be matched dollar for dollar by a generous group of current members, including Catherine and Lyman Lyons from McFarland. Today's the last day of our spring membership drive, and we have $60,000 to match. Don't wait. Double your support for WPR programs when you give right now. Here's how.
You can give right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make that pledge and make a difference. I'm Cheryl Gasser. Glad to be here in the studio with Susanna Michaels. Hello, Susanna.
Hi.
We are here asking for your support during this spring membership drive because it's what makes WPR programs that you rely on. It's what makes it possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount is right for you, that is exactly the right amount.
And it will be matched.
Yay.
I'm gonna get sick of saying that, but it's so exciting and so true. And giving to WPR is easy. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you would like to pay.
It takes just a few minutes, whether you pledge online or over the phone. Make your gift to Wisconsin Public Radio and take those few minutes to fund your daily listening. Your support right now makes a big difference. Your pledge will be doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. We have that dollar for dollar match. A group of people teamed up to encourage you to donate. It is a great time to support the WPR programs you love. Give now at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552, and your support will go twice as far.
In this pledge drive, you can do two good things at once when you make your donation to support WPR. Be sure to ask for the Reach Out and Read Thank You Gift. Your thank you gift will provide books to young children, and that's available when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you are not already a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your first year of sustaining gifts will be matched dollar for dollar.
Your gift is powerful and it makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are circling up for a week in review. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're digging into the week's developments with Joe Winicky at our side. He's a former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Joe, welcome back to the program.
Well, good morning.
And you can join in the conversation, the Week in Review discussion. What's been on your radar? 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Foxconn first, what do you think of a decision by the state DNR to approve air quality permits for Foxconn? Have you been following this story? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. So, Joe, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources announces this week it approves 4 air permits for Foxconn Technology Group. The company has said it's committed to minimizing negative environmental effects, but critics are objecting, saying that the massive plant will elevate smog emissions. Well, what stands out to you here? What surprised you?
Well, how far Wisconsin has come from the being an environmental pioneer. You know, we're the state that had Gaylord Nelson as our U.S. Senator, created Earth Day. Under Governor Earle, we created the strongest acid rain legislation in the country, the strongest groundwater bill in the country. And we also dealt with huge air pollution issues. I'm old enough to remember the 60s and 70s and smog, and we don't want to go back to this. But this is just a continuation of Governor Walker's patterns. Give away the store in the name of the altar of almighty large businesses. And in this case, it's a out-of-country Taiwanese business with a questionable track record, and we're just going to pollute the environment again. And it's wrong.
Well, do you think, though, critics are overreacting to this just a bit? Because we really haven't seen what is going to happen here and what Foxconn is actually capable of producing.
Well, we don't know, of course, because they haven't even put a spade in the ground.
A shovel in the ground, yeah.
Right. So we don't know, but we're supposed to trust a company that in their other ventures in the United States have been less than trustworthy. Now, I'm all for creating jobs in Wisconsin, and I hope they're good-paying jobs because, you know, they said they were going to average $53,000 a year, but the initial stuff looks like it's going to be more like $14 to $15 an hour, which is $28,000 to $30,000 a year. I just hope we didn't get a pig in a poke here because it's the largest private subsidy in the history of the country, $4 billion, which amounts to the state taxpayers paying for the first 4,000 to 5,000 employees in this thing. It's also an aging technology. And I just worry, did we buy a pig in a poke because Scott Walker thought this would help him get elected again?
So what would you like to see Foxconn do to minimize the negative environmental impact?
It's not Foxconn, it's the DNR. Foxconn should have to play by the rules. And it's the DNR that should be enforcing these rules. By the way, the same DNR in my backyard down in Greene County, just south of Madison, just approved a 7,800-person cow dairy operation that's going to make millions and millions and millions of gallons of manure every year with the argument that it will not get into the aquifer.
But is... Huh? But going back to Foxconn here for a moment, is this the cost of doing business? Is this the cost of keeping up in the technology sector?
No. And by the way, I thought technology was a clean industry.
Well, making the technology, certainly the hardware, it takes a lot of
minerals. So we're going to allow, so we should just allow pollution standards to be ignored. I mean, and you know, our history has been one that we cared about the environment. This is a state that one of its largest industries is tourism. We have to have clean air, clean water, Great Lakes, the North Woods. We have to have good infrastructure, which is being punished by the Foxconn thing because hundreds of millions of dollars are moving to Racine County that would have gone to other parts of the state. I just wish once in a while we'd quit looking the other way under the Walker administration. I don't want to sound so partisan because my cohort isn't here at the moment. So I'll say, okay, if I was a Republican, I'd say this makes Wisconsin great again. There.
You're talking about John Sharpless, who we are trying to get a hold of here, having some difficulty. But meanwhile, let's go to Rick calling in from Oshkosh. Hi, Rick. Go ahead.
Good morning. Great program. Glad that we can ask some questions because we know we're dealing with a contractor which is called Foxconn, but we'd like to know what the parent company, because you know how it is dealing with contractors, here one day, gone the other. I'd like to know what is the name of the parent company who's hiring Foxconn.
What is Foxconn? The contractors, there was something in the paper today that head of Foxconn, Luke Gow or something, whatever his name is,
Terry Gow.
Said that he'll be announcing shortly that 90% of the contractors will be from Wisconsin. That's fine. I would hope they would be. But the contractors will be hired, but Foxconn is the company.
Rick, thanks so much for the call. Meanwhile, this week, the Wisconsin DNR also approved the city of Racine's request to pull 7 million gallons of water daily from Lake Michigan for Foxconn. And per the Great Lakes Compact, all water diverted from the lake must be returned, minus what's lost to evaporation or what's used as part of manufacturing. The application estimated that 2.7 million gallons will be used daily and won't go back to Lake Michigan. So, Joe, what do you make of this? What do you think of this decision?
Well, I think it was 7 million gallons used and 2.8 million not going back, I think, or 2.7. I think you might be right on that, that would not go back. And that's unfortunate, but it's what's larger, again, I guess it would be the rule of law. I mean, we've created the Great Lakes Compact. Wisconsin is a integral partner of the Great Lakes Compact. How in the heck does the DNR, Governor Walker, Racine County, and others violate those terms of the contract? This has not been approved by the Great Lakes Compact. I mean, I remember we had water wars for like over a decade in Waukesha County over the Great Lake Compact and the need for water and growing Waukesha County. Why is this one different? Why does it take 10 or 15 years to deal with all the intricate issues so that you can iron them out for Waukesha County, by the way, a Republican county, not that it matters, and all of a sudden we're just going to look the other way and ram through another thing for a Taiwanese company?
So do you see a lot of litigation coming
down
the pike?
Oh, I do. One of the downsides, of course, is the environmental groups that threaten don't have a lot of financial resources to necessarily fight a multi-billion dollar company and the State Department of Justice.
Well, is this, though, as I go back to the cost of doing business, because Lake Michigan, quite an asset, though, for being able to carry on large manufacturing plants.
Yeah, it's been there for a long, it was here long before any manufacturing plants came. And yes, and that's one of the reasons why you see the big cities along the Great Lakes. But that doesn't give you a free ride. I'm not asking them to not build the business. I'm not asking, you know, for anything other than we have standards and rules to protect the citizenry, whether it's air pollution, the basically stealing of public waters in the name of business. What, I know a lot of business people that would disagree with that because they live here too. What business people want is a fair regulatory environment. They want reasonable taxes. They want quality infrastructure. What I suspect, because I've talked to a number of them, what they don't understand is how one out-of-country company, Taiwanese-based business, gets $4 billion, but they get nothing. They don't get breaks on environmental protection. They don't get hundreds of millions of dollars for roads. They don't get $4 billion in subsidies. I mean, if I was a business person, I looked at this Foxconn thing, I'd say this is a bunch of hooey.
We're moving through Week in Review, and we've got Joe Winicky at our side. He's a former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, gathering your insights as well at 800-642-1234. What about the DNR request to pull 7 billion gallons of water from Lake Michigan daily for Foxconn? What concerns you? Are critics overreacting? Is this needed to increase our role in the tech sector? Join in, 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll get back to the conversation in just a moment on the Ideas Network. On a Friday, it is Week in Review. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Later this hour, we'll be turning our attention to the U.S. Supreme Court, which is considering a challenge to President Trump's travel ban. But first, let's get an update on the spring membership drive that is in the home stretch today.
Thanks, Kate. I'm Cheryl Gasser here with Susanna Michaels. And as Kate said, this is the last day, the final day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. You've been meaning to give. You've been listening all week. Now is the time because the drive ends at 7 tonight.
And your gift is important because listener donations are the single largest source of funding for the WPR programs you care about.
And we have this great dollar-for-dollar match going on. It's a wonderful time, the perfect time to give at WPR.org. Or you can call 888-202-2552.
And this is how the match works. You make a donation of any amount, and that gift will be matched dollar for dollar. And that's made possible by a generous group of current members. It's a big pool of members who teamed up to make this day possible. Thank you so much to them. And now you join in and help make this a big, big day for the WPR programs you love. Double the impact of your support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, Susanna, chances are that the Ideas Network has covered an issue close to every single one of the people listening right now, because whether it's gardening or politics, whether it's healthcare or the environment, you can count on the Ideas Network for shows that you will find relevant and interesting and enjoyable, and you get to take part in those conversations. Because the Ideas Network and WPR touch your life, make a pledge of support and get it doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It is the last day of our spring membership drive, and remember, we have a day-long match in effect for as long as it lasts. Your donation is doubled when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a special thank you gift this drive. Reach out and read books for kids.
I'm Dr. Dipashin Afsarya. I'm an associate professor of pediatrics at the University of Wisconsin. Reach Out and Read is a program that starts at the six-month checkup, giving books to every child as part of their regular checkups. There's always two questions in any pediatric visit. How's my child doing? And how am I doing as a parent? I've had parents say to me, "We read every day because you told us to." Every parent is feeling motivated and feeling confident in their skills at being able to effectively parent their child to really a bright future.
Support WPR programs and ask for the Reach Out and Read Books for Kids thank you gift. Give $10 a month or more. Here's how.
You can make that pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on and pick up that Reach Out and Read thank you gift. Good morning. I'm Cheryl Gasser here with Susanna Michaels, and we are here to raise the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and all the programs you enjoy on the air and going strong. And whether your pledge is $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate your gift. We count on it, and it will be doubled during this final day of the drive.
It will be doubled. And when you make that gift, become a sustainer. A sustaining membership is truly the gift that keeps on giving, because your membership doesn't have an expiration date.
That's because the monthly deductions from either your bank account or charges on your credit card automatically renew each year. You remain in control the entire time. So give the gift that keeps on giving. Become a sustainer with a monthly gift in whatever amount is right for you, and the first year of your sustaining membership will be matched today.
Right, because we have that exciting dollar-for-dollar match still in effect on this last day of our spring membership drive. We have $37,000 still left to go. There's plenty of room for you. 150 people, more than 150, have already gotten their gift match. Join them. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support will go twice as far.
Show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio and pick up the Reach Out and Read thank you gift. That means your donation will support the programs you rely on, like The Morning Show and Weekend Review, and your thank you gift will provide books for young children. Do two wonderful things when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you. Now make today, this exciting match day, the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you increase, your new monthly amount will be matched dollar for dollar that first year.
Thank you so much if you've already contributed. If not, we'd love to hear from you now during this final day of the spring membership drive. Get your pledge doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's Week in Review. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're moving through the week's developments piece by piece. And later this hour, we'll be talking about the challenge to President Trump's travel ban. We have at our side Joe Winicky, who stays with us. He's a former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Gathering your calls as well, 800-642-1234. A little bit later, we're going to be joined by Rick Essenberg, who's stepping in just at a moment's notice, and so helping us out here later this hour on national news. Let's go back now to the phones with Michael calling from Bear Valley. Hi, Michael.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just had a question about the waste stream from Foxconn. This is the water that's actually taken out of the lake and then it's going to be put back in, which I think is going to be around 5 million gallons a day, I understand. Who's going to be responsible for monitoring and creating facilities to get the heavy metals out of that waste stream before it gets back into the lake? Will that be the city of Beloit that takes on those financial responsibilities, or Foxconn? Has anybody looked into that? Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Well, it would not be the city of Beloit. The city of Racine is the closest city. This is actually, I think, in the town of Pleasant Prairie, which is a very urban town. It's a big town. A lot of cabbage. Thought I'd throw that aside in there. The only people that can really do that, or groups, are going to be the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, which have already shown that they're willing to look the other way on everything, or the Environmental Protection Agency. And you can just hope that they're not going to let bad discharge go back into the lake under the theory that the solution to pollution is dilution.
Well, can groups like Clean Wisconsin and outside groups have an influence here on that waste stream?
You always have the legal option. And I assume within their financial resources, they will pursue all options to try and protect our precious waters.
Beth from Menominee Falls with us now. Hi, Beth.
Hello. I applaud you, Joe. Please keep up the banging your drum on this issue and informing all of us about these concerns. I share your concerns regarding the environment, but also regarding employee relations and the stories we've heard about Foxconn and the employees who have not been properly trained, are only paid for those pieces that meet standards, even though they weren't trained for that. And the number of suicides that have occurred at plants that Foxconn has owned and managed. What's our individual citizens' recourse in addressing this at this point, both the environmental as well as the employee relations issues?
Well, I think there's a couple. By the way, this is the only company I've ever heard of in the world that put up nets to prevent people from jumping off the roof. It's kind of scary stuff, but we're hook, line, and sinker with them. Well, obviously, you know, it sounds like a broken record, but there's always legal recourse, and any individual or group can fight these things, and there's ways to do it that aren't always, you know, something that an average citizen can't afford. There's also another recourse, and I hope people understand this. There's an election for governor this November. And Scott Walker has tethered himself to Foxconn. And as far as I can tell, it's the worst political decision that I could think of for somebody running for office this year. If I was advising people that care deeply about this issue, I would be looking at candidates for governor, including Governor Walker, to be fair, and say, who is on my side on important issues like this? And from my perspective, if I was giving advice to Democratic candidates for governor, I would make this the marquee issue because it's affecting our infrastructure on transportation. It's affecting our environment. It's affecting labor relations. It's going to affect urban sprawl. And it's a huge, huge taxpayer subsidy of billions of dollars.
Well, we have time for just one more call on this. Camille in New Berlin, you're on.
Thank you for taking my call. I'll be brief. I wrote to the members of the compact, the Great Lakes Compact, individually and asked them why they were not getting involved. Not a single person responded to me, but then they released a statement that said publicly they would not be getting involved in this decision. I wonder why environmental groups are not suing them as well. Also, the League of Conservation Voters releases a scorecard for representatives, state senators. There is not a Republican that scores higher than 50 or 60%. I hope people remember that when they vote. Thank you.
There's still a couple that get up to 50%. All right. You make a good point. I don't know how the Great Lakes Compact deals with letters and the like. I just don't have any knowledge.
We're moving through the week's developments and the next topic of discussion, the challenge to President Trump's travel ban. The High Court weighed this question Wednesday. If a national security policy is inspired by religious bias, can it still be legal? Justice Anthony Kennedy, who often acts as the deciding vote in close cases, suggested that it isn't the usual role of the court for it to criticize a president's national security decisions. Here he is talking with the challenger's lawyer about whether the travel ban is perpetual and indefinite.
I thought it had to be reexamined every 180 days.
No, that's not what it says. It says there's a report that has to come in at 180 days and nothing happens at the end of the report.
Well, that indicates there'll be a reassessment.
Again, we wouldn't have a problem with that if it was tailored to a crisis as it sunsets and then, you know, could be re-upped or something like that. That's not what this says. This is about a perpetual problem.
You want the president to say, I'm convinced that in 6 months we're going to have a safe world.
How do you think the court should rule? Call in at 800-642-1234. Joe Winicky stays with us, former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Rick Essenberg stepping in at a moment's notice. He's president, general counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Thank you so much for stepping in, Rick.
I feel like the CPA who was called in to play goalie for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Oh my gosh, that is such a great analogy. although that was pretty remarkable, you have to say. Well, so getting back here to President Trump, the travel ban, a reminder, this version bans almost all travelers from 5 mainly Muslim countries. It also puts a halt on travelers from North Korea and Venezuelan government officials. Critics say the ban violates American law and harms national security. Rick, are critics going too far when they claim it hurts national security?
Well, The issue before the Supreme Court was whether or not the president has the legal authority to do this. If you look at the statute, it's quite clear. You know, Congress has delegated broad authority to the president to exclude foreigners from the United States. The statute may be too broad. It may be that Congress should tighten it up, but it's what Congress did. And this notion that you can somehow countermand that grant of authority to the president by looking at campaign rhetoric, I think, is an extremely dangerous notion, and I think it's antithetical to the rule of law. Campaign rhetoric is always rough. It's often exaggerated. It's oversimplified. It's contradictory because candidates tend to say different things at different times. And so, you know, we can disagree about whether the travel ban was a good idea or not. I think that in many respects it was too broad. I think it was poorly executed. But the president had the authority to do it. And if the rule of law means anything, then I think it's incumbent on the Supreme Court to respect that. And if we want to argue about, you know, what the rules should be for, you know, people who are attempting to enter the United States from certain countries, we can have that debate in the political world. We can have that debate in Congress. But it's not something for the Supreme Court to constitutionalize.
So, Joe, pick it up from here. What do you think the court should decide here?
I think I'm going to surprise a lot of people and say I think I largely agree with Rick. I think this is a horrible political decision, and I think it will have broad repercussions that's going to hurt the Republican Party in 2018 and 2020. But, you know, an idol of mine, Franklin Roosevelt, in 1942, put hundreds of thousands of dollars of Japanese, hundreds of thousands of Japanese Americans into basically concentration camps. I mean, you know, we call them nicer things, but presidents have this authority. I don't think it's the same as World War II, where there was a worldwide crisis going on here, and I think it shows an inherent bias against Muslims. That the area that I would disagree with Rick on is that, yes, while they talked about his rhetoric during the campaign, he repeated the exact same rhetoric as president.
Well, we are tackling week's developments one at a time with our guests, Rick Essenberg, President and General Counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, Joe Winicky, former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Before we get back to this conversation, let's get up to speed on all the momentum flowing into the final day of our spring membership drive.
Thank you, Kate. And there is a lot of momentum on this final day of the Wisconsin Public Radio spring membership drive. I'm Cheryl Gasser here in studio with Susanna Michaels, and your support. Yes, you. Your support is so important. Why? Because it powers the programs that keeps you in the know and entertained.
That's how WPR works. The people who use it, you, are the single largest source of funding for it.
And we have this very exciting dollar-for-dollar match going on all day today. You've been meaning to give. You've been listening throughout the week. Please do it now on this last day of the drive. Get your donation doubled at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And Cheryl, here's someone who got their match doubled. It was Natalie from DeForest who says, "It's my first time giving and it's been a long time coming. I grew up listening to WPR and all the great shows. At the time, I wasn't aware of the positive impact it was having on me. I'm glad to finally be able to contribute to all the wonderful programming and hopefully inspire my daughter to do the same someday. Thank you, Natalie." And that's a testament to the history of public radio we have in the state of Wisconsin, the oldest public radio station in the nation. And it's that passing it on from generation to generation. Natalie, thank you for your gift. Congratulations, you got it doubled. Join Natalie, make that gift. Maybe it's your first ever gift and get it doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR, we are listener supported, and that means when you give, you make the Week in Review possible. You make the State Capitol Report possible. On Your Money, the list goes on and on. All these conversations are possible thanks to you. So please choose an amount that works for you and take a few minutes to make your pledge and get it doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this spring membership drive, in addition to the excitement today, we also have another special opportunity for you, and that's that you can ask for the Reach Out and Read thank you gift when you give $10 a month or more.
Your thank you gift will provide books to young children during their wellness doctor visits. Donate now and you'll support WPR programs and also help Wisconsin kids get a great start in literacy. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Tell me how much you love WPR programs.
So much.
This much. I'm holding my arms wide open.
I listen all the time.
What if I told you that today, your support for WPR programs would go twice as far?
That's incredible.
Wow.
Wow is right. Today's a special day at WPR. It's the last day of our spring membership drive, and we have a match up to $60,000 donated by current members, including John and Janet Murphy from Duluth. Give now, and your support for the WPR programs you enjoy and rely on will be doubled. Here's how to give.
And that's at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good morning. I'm Susanna Michaels. Thrilled to be here with Cheryl Gasser. Listener support is the single biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support during the spring membership drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount, and it will be doubled.
It will, because our big dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect on this last day of our spring membership drive. It's a great time to support the WPR programs that you love. So please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your support of WPR will go twice as far, and you need to know that your gift is powerful. It makes a real difference, and we thank you for your support.
You're with us on a Friday for Week in Review. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Rear Admiral Ronnie Jackson withdrew yesterday morning as President Trump's nominee to lead the Department of Veterans Affairs. The president expressed his disappointment about the withdrawal and the challenges Secretary of State Mike Pompeo faced in confirmation on Fox and Friends yesterday morning.
The Democrats are obstructionists. It's horrible what they're doing. They're not approving people. They're taking them out to the maximum 30 hours. That's a lot of time, 30 hours, to interview people that are going to be approved. I mean, they go 30 hours and then people all vote. And it's a disgrace.
Are you disappointed that Dr. Ronnie Jackson, the White House physician, won't be the new VA head, or was this the right move? Call in at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Feel free to tweet us at WPR Mornings. First, though, let's return to look one more time at the Supreme Court's consideration of the travel ban. Rick Essenberg here with us, President, General Counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, Joe Winicky as well, former state senator and former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. So, Rick Essenberg, back to you. One question the court is considering here as part of this case is whether the executive order from the president violates the Constitution's ban on religious discrimination. And I want to look at that more carefully with you. What do you think there?
Typically referred to as a Muslim ban or a Muslim travel ban, and it's not that. It was a ban that applied to particular countries that had a history of being recognized by the United States government, including during the Obama administration, as places where it was very, very difficult to vet people and understand exactly who it was that was attempting to enter the country. Now, having said that, I think there are problems with execution, there are problems with scope. But to call it a Muslim ban, it seems to me, is to misdescribe the thing in itself. And we've always had to be very, very careful when we're talking about religious discrimination. So, for example, the United States Supreme Court has held that when we have laws of general applicability, the fact that they might turn out to have a disparate impact on certain religious groups doesn't make them religious discrimination. And the reason for that is that, you know, religious beliefs are very diffuse, they're varied, they correlate with a lot of other things. And so it's not surprising to me that under the present circumstances that if you were concerned about vetting people from certain countries, it may very well be that those countries would tend to be, countries with predominant Muslim populations. That doesn't make it Muslim discrimination, since there are many, many other countries that also have predominant Muslim populations that weren't subject to the ban. And so the only way that you get to religious discrimination is you try to look at rhetoric. And I think that in this context is very, very dangerous because, this type of political rhetoric, whether it happens during the campaign or even sometimes when it happens after somebody has assumed office, is always imprecise. It's always, it tends to be oversimplified because it's intended for a general audience. It doesn't always represent a considered explanation of why a policy was adopted. And I think we're going down a very difficult road. I could imagine that, all sorts of public policies, anti-discrimination policies, for example, I can imagine being challenged as anti-Christian religious discrimination because of the rhetoric of those who are often associated with them. And so I think it's a very, very dangerous precedent, and I think the court was quite correct to be skeptical of it.
Well, Joe Winicky, the travel ban having these loose connotations with a Muslim ban, calling it that, does that inch too close to religious discrimination and religious freedoms?
Possibly. I expect the court will rule with the president, even though I think it's... But I happen to once again agree with Rick. The setup of this so-called ban was so poorly done that I think it could have inadvertent... reality, I guess, of affecting one largely religious population. And if the court was to rule against the president, I suspect it would be on the religious liberty ground. But I am not a lawyer, and it's just my gut feeling.
Well, let's turn to another national headline. White House physician Dr. Ronnie Jackson was being considered to lead the Department of Veterans Affairs, but he withdrew yesterday morning following allegations about his behavior. The ranking Democratic member of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, Senator John Tester, released a statement about Jackson's alleged behavior the day before that. So, Rick, let's start with you here. What struck you about this situation and this withdrawal?
Well, I mean, I don't have any strong feelings about, you know, Ronnie Jackson, the man. I'm a little skeptical and concerned about the furor, that arose. And this is a guy, at the time he was nominated, who had held a position of responsibility in the White House, in the White House physician during both Republican and Democratic administrations. I mean, he was there during the Obama administration. And while people said, well, look, we don't know whether this guy really has the experience to run an agency this large because he's not been in that kind of management position, which I think is a fair observation. Now it turns out that he's this monster, right? He's the candy man. He's drunk at work. I think that that's all implausible given the fact that he remained in that position for as long as he did. And I think it hints at something that's really ugly in our politics. That is, that when we decide that we want to oppose someone, we don't limit ourselves to arguments that are made in good faith about the merits of a particular situation, and we set out to destroy that person. And we know, given the way that politics works, that if we can make enough allegations, then the process of trying to refute those allegations becomes too difficult. It becomes a distraction, and we wind up defeating the person that we opposed. And so it may be that all of these things are true. I don't know. I don't think that they seem implausible to me. They seem like many of them are unproven. But I think it's just another example of the way that, you know, our political discourse and the way that we conduct politics has become degraded. And I don't blame one side exclusively, but in this case, I think that the desire just to deny Trump something that he wanted was so strong that the whole thing turned into something of a circus.
Yeah, Joe Winicky, in your situation as a lawmaker, former lawmaker, is this the way we should handle the confirmation process?
Well, I was somewhat of an agreement with Rick until that last point about this is just to get Donald Trump. It wasn't. I mean, you know, the President Trump, first of all, what does Ronnie Jackson know about Veterans Affairs? I mean, it was, he likes him. Trump likes him, so he put him in this position. But then the president, when you want to talk about personal attacks, goes after Senator Tester from Montana, who is probably one of the two or three least partisan Democrats in the Congress. I mean, he's from Montana. He can't be a real partisan, even if he wanted to be. And they ignore the fact that Senator Isaacson, the Republican chair of the committee, was largely in concurrence with Senator Tester. I agree with Rick. Some of the salacious stuff that nobody should have to go through that unless there's proof, and the proof has not been brought out. So I feel bad for the doctor. But I don't think he was in a position where he should have been put in the first place. We don't know all the facts. I suspect there's more out there that we don't know, and they were finding a way to get this nomination kiboshed. But it's actually, I would argue, it's President Trump as much as anybody else that is trying to partisanize this issue.
Well, personalities and figureheads aside, where does this leave the future of the Veterans Administration? Because the former head of the VA has said he believes one reason he was removed from his post involved privatization, although it should be noted that questions were brought up about improper travel expenses during his time as the department's head. So, Rick, what about the future of the VA?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, we'll nominate another head of the VA, and you know, perhaps we'll go through the same thing again. And my disagreement with Joe is not that it's illegitimate to talk about someone's lack of experience. It's not that it's illegitimate to talk about, you know, somebody's policy preferences. I happen to think that privatization could make a great deal of sense in the Veterans Administration, particularly when you have, you know, veterans that are, you know, located oftentimes miles and miles away from a facility, and privatization can make great sense for providing services to those folks. But the problem here is can we resist the temptation again to turn this into sort of a political circus? And so I don't excuse what happened with Ronnie Jackson by saying, well, I don't think that Ronnie Jackson had the experience to run the Veterans Administration. Maybe he didn't. But if he didn't, that should have been the debate, and it shouldn't have been all of these allegations that were, you know, dragged out from under the mattress, and I think many of them probably fabricated. And so I hope that whatever we do, when the next person is nominated, that we can have a debate about real issues and real qualifications and not what happened here.
And Joe, very quickly, you'll get the last word. Is the VA being compromised here as we try to figure out who's heading it?
Yes, and on the issue of privatization, it's a simple thing. If you talk to veterans, they like the VA hospitals. The only people pushing privatization are a bunch of congressmen who are trying to please private sector businesses. The VA works generally. It's huge. And they like their current situation, the veterans themselves.
Well, Rick and Joe, thank you both so much. Rick Essenberg is President General Counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Joe Winicky here, a former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. This edition of Week in Review was produced by Brianne Shasso, Keely Baltina, and Colleen Leahy. Brittany Williams provided technical direction. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the Ideas Network. Now let's get an update on our fabulous spring membership drive here at WPR.
And I'm Cheryl Gasser, along with Susanna Michaels, on this final day of our spring membership drive here at WPR. And we don't have much longer to ask for your support because the drive ends tonight at 7 o'clock.
And right now is a great time to give because we have a dollar-for-dollar match going on. Listener support is the single largest source of funding for the programs you love. And that's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important, and it will be doubled.
This is such an exciting day for us here at WPR. It is the last day of our spring membership drive. We've been with you since Tuesday asking for your support. And if you've pledged already, thank you so much. But if you've been meaning to pledge all week, please know that we have this dollar for dollar match in effect. And that means that your gift of any amount will be doubled by a generous group of current members. So make this a very big day for WPR and for you, for the program. programs that you care about. Double the impact of your support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from Amy in Appleton who says, I have learned so much from listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, from money matters to politics and current affairs to gardening and the arts. I look forward to listening every day. Thank you so much, Amy. And Amy, your gift was doubled. And that is so true. We've been enjoying Week in Review right now. Such a unique show where we get to hear from two people civilly talking about national issues, state issues, and you get to join in too. It's a special thing, and you can be part of it when you make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It is our last day of the spring membership drive. We have this day-long match in effect. Your donation will be doubled when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we just have a few more minutes. Your support right now is so important, and it will be doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We did hear from Lowen in Madison who says, WPR is just the best. Thank you for filling my brain with so much knowledge. Thank you, Lowen, and your gift was doubled.
And if you're a sustaining member, hey, make today the day that you increase your ongoing monthly gift. Thank you so much for your support already, but why not do a little bit more? Maybe another $5 or $10, whatever amount you choose, WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is the way you do it. And when you increase, your new monthly amount will be matched dollar for dollar for the first year. Make your pledge. It's powerful and it's important. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.